is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harris Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. Also here with us tonight is Frank Briscoe. He's going to be running our boards and our phone for us, and we're thankful that Frank is with us here as well. I think we've got a great program for you tonight. We're going to have a final edition, at least for this year, of the teachings of Jesus versus the teaching of Muhammad and the teachings of the Quran and the Sharia law versus Christianity. And we do think that this is going to be informative for you. We hope that you will tune in and join in as we go through some of these things that that I think and Tom thinks that we certainly wouldn't need to know. And when we see the comparison between the two, the teachings of Jesus and Christianity versus the teachings of Muhammad and Islam, I do believe that you're going to see a dramatic difference. It's just not one religion versus another. It is the true religion of Christianity versus the false teaching of Islam. Tom, that's I think that will be enough to get us started. If you'll tell everybody where we're broadcasting from tonight, then we'll pick it up on the other side.
We're broadcasting tonight from KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose, KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY out of 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAVAM 1590 AM out of Lubbock, and KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. And this program is going to be rebroadcast on the Gospel Radio Network tomorrow, Tuesday, at 6 a.m. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in program, and the number to call, if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, if you wait toward the end of the program to call in, you may not get in. Last week, we had several callers who were trying to get in but were unable to because we had so many callers last week. So the quicker the better if you'd like to get involved in the discussion via the telephone.
Oh, by the way, don't give up calling just because the line's busy or we don't answer immediately. Just continue to try to call. We want your call. Your call is very important to us. Don't give up.
That's right. And we're also airing tonight on Periscope. For those who know about Periscope, you can go to Tom Moore at Poppy Tutor, and you can follow that, and you'll be able to get a reminder of when we're coming on through Periscope. We also have a Twitter account, hashtag Ask Harrison Moore, to ask us questions or make comments. We also have an email address. And as a matter of fact, we're going to address here in the beginning one of the questions or comments that was given to us through email. The email address is questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can also go to our webpage, harrisonmoore.org, and you can find archived programming on various topics and things that would be of interest to you. David, mentioning emails, we got an email, I guess a day or two after our program of last week, from a man by the name of Joseph, and he had some concerns and maybe some scathing remarks about our program last week.
Well, yes, but before we go there, I want to encourage anyone who can to take a Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. We're going to read one verse of Scripture here, and I think when we read this email that we're going to see that it is very, very applicable even today. Now, God, through the prophet Isaiah, warns the Israelites in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. And woe unto them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And then one more, he says, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now, Tom, that passage of Scripture is a passage that comes from God himself that wants us to know how grievous it would be upon anyone to put good for evil, or light for darkness, or bitter for sweet, calling something just exactly the opposite of what it is.
Exactly right. You know, we have a big problem with that in our world today. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really is difficult for people really to grasp the truth on subjects of our world today is because many times the media is involved in doing that very thing, calling what God says is bad, they're calling it good, and that which God calls good, they're calling it bad. And we see there a parallel, don't we, with the idea of Muslims and good Muslims, bad Muslims?
Yes, yes, we do. And that ought to give us a pretty good segue into this email that we got. Now, Joseph wrote us after our last program, and our last program had we were reading from the Quran, and as a matter of fact, Joseph wasn't the first one that accused us of spreading hate and fear, and all in the world we were doing was reading what the Quran had to say. We could read some Sharia law tonight, and if that didn't inspire a little fear in everybody, well, it should. But nevertheless, Joseph very sincerely wrote us this email, and I'm going to read it to you just the way we got it. He says, "I know you won't share this on your radio program because it does not fit your narrow-minded political agenda." Now, before I go any further, we do not have a political agenda on this show. It may sound like we do sometime, but we do not have a political agenda on this show.
What we have is a spiritual agenda.
I hope that is just exactly right. But he says we have a narrow-minded political agenda. It is our purpose on this show to show what men have said, and now compare that to what God has had to say. And that's been our motto all along. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And that's all in the world we're doing here. We have been reading from the Quran, and a lot of people seem to think this is fear and hate mongering on our part. And all in the world we're doing is reading what Islam is all about.
Exactly.
We have never, ever said that every single individual who ever claimed that he was a Muslim is a bad person. We've never said that, never implied that. Maybe the thought is because of the Islamic law that governs Muslims who are faithful, maybe you get the implication that we're saying that. But let me finish the letter. He says, just so you know, or he says, so you know, I am a Catholic. And we assumed that that was so that we wouldn't think that he was a Muslim. He says, but I find your personal views and depiction of Islam an embarrassment and disgraceful. Shame on you for disseminating fear and hate. I hope your listeners see through your hateful ignorance as much as I do. It's absolutely disgusting. Now, before we get into what he had to say, I want us to, or why don't you just paraphrase the article that he sent us from CNN concerning a busload of Muslims and Christians traveling together on the same bus.
Well, there was a Al-Shabaab militants who had ambushed a bus, and they were going to kill all the Christians on that bus. Well, there were some Kenyan Muslims who shielded these Christian passengers and told the attackers that they were prepared to die together. Well, I did some more reading about that, and more likely what happened was they covered up the Christians with the garb so that they wouldn't think that they were Christians. But whatever the case was, these Kenyan Muslims were trying to protect the Christian passengers. And
who were they trying to protect them from?
From the Shabaab militants, who were also Muslims.
Okay.
Muslims trying to kill Christians and Muslims trying to protect Christians. Now, David, Joseph showed us this because he was under the impression that we're saying all Muslims are like the Al-Shabaab militants. We did not say that. I don't believe we ever inferred that, but we're going to address that at the very beginning of this program to let you know what our view is in regard to Muslims. Are all Muslims terrorists? No, they're not. Are all Muslims Al-Shabaab militants? No, they're not. But David, what we have to understand is the difference between a faithful Muslim and an unfaithful Muslim. Is that not right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what we have been trying to get across ever since we started. We started this about 3 weeks ago, maybe even 4 weeks ago, when we were talking about the Syrian refugees coming into the United States by droves, 10,000 of them so far, I do believe. And it just kind of took on a life of its own because of some of what some of the callers that were doing. Now, here is the thing, and the reason that we read Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 to begin with. Woe unto him that puts good for evil and evil for good, that puts light for darkness and darkness for light, that puts sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Woe unto that individual who would try to disguise what is harmful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so God says this in his word to us. It's a warning to all of the Israelites. It's a warning for us even today. So when Joseph sent us this, one thing he forgot to mention here, yes, there were some good Muslims in there, but who were the ones that were trying to kill everybody?
They were the Muslims as well.
They were the Muslims as well. What separated the two? One was faithful, one was unfaithful. Mm-hmm. The ones that were faithful were going by the Quran and Sharia law. The ones that were unfaithful had nothing to do with the Quran and the Sharia law, or either that or they just totally disregarded it. But it's supposed to be a divine law for them to follow. And if they don't follow it, then they are considered to be apostates. And according to Sharia law, they are supposed to be beheaded.
And so what we have here then, David, is the faithful Muslim is what we would consider to be a bad Muslim because they're living by Sharia law. They're involved in the killing of anyone who is not Muslim. They are faithful because they're following the Quran to the T, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and we would consider an unfaithful Muslim one whom is one who does not adhere to the Quran, and we would consider them to be a good Muslim because they bring no problem to us. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to be out there killing us, but they're unfaithful to the Quran. These ones who will not follow the Quran by the faithful ones, they're to be killed.
Right. And so then when you look at it, to the faithful Muslim, that which we consider to be good is bad, and that which they consider to be bad to us is good. And here it fits exactly what God has said through the prophet Isaiah about woe unto him that puts good for evil and evil for good. And so here we have a real problem, and it kind of goes back to our first program when we were talking about these Syrian refugees coming into the United States of America. Okay, if they are all Muslim, and the Syrians, as I understand it, are 98% Muslim, so if they're all Muslim and they come in and they are sympathetic to the cause of ISIS, they are sympathetic to the cause of the Quran, then even if it was just a 1% of the 10,000, you would still have 1,000 of them, would you not?
Exactly. And we might even, for our audience, David, that who may not know what ISIS
stands for. Please tell them.
ISIS stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And so we have all of these Syrian refugees coming into the United States of America who have very much an influence with ISIS coming into our United States of America. Is there a reason why we should not be concerned about this?
No, and there's no reason whatsoever except for the media and maybe people like Joseph just flat do not understand the danger that is involved here with the Muslim faith and being faithful to Islam. We're not saying that every Muslim is a sorry rat. We're not saying that at all. What we are saying is the faithful ones will kill you.
And you know, David, we can also, I think we mentioned this either last week or the week before, we can take care of these refugees without bringing them to America.
Absolutely.
And putting us in harm's way. We can take care of them in other nations.
And this way, everybody can keep their own culture, they can keep their own customs, they can keep, if they want to wrap their women up in garb, that's fine and dandy, but don't force that on our women if they don't want to do it. You
know, and David, almost on a daily basis now, through the various new news reports, you're finding already some difficulties that are arising from the refugees who are here in America. And I'm afraid we're going to keep finding more and more of these things that are occurring because our government has not taken the initiative to first protect the United States of America. Is that not, David, the president's number one responsibility as president to protect the United States?
Yes, 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 it is very much, very much so. Now we have a comment on our chat box says the refugee issue is a political one, and so it making reference to the political agenda that we were talking about just a moment ago. You may call it a political agenda, you may call it a political issue. The refugee is not a political issue, not until we made it one. The refugee issue is one of protection as well.
You know, it seems to me, David, that whenever people disagree about an issue, they always want to slap on the political title. You know, it's not always political. You know, I'm thinking here, you know, I know people who are Democrats and Republicans who are on the same side on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's not political. You know, some people may want to peg it political. We may have a lot of politicians who believe one way and another way, but what we're talking about here goes beyond politics. We're talking about the safety of the United States of America, and that has no political boundaries there.
That's true. Very true. Now, I would like to move on, because we didn't get to do something last week and the week before that I really think we need to do. And we're looking at the teachings of Jesus versus the teachings of Muhammad. And we want to get right into the teachings of the Bible concerning women, and the teaching of the Quran concerning women as well. And so we want to look at the treatment of women, and we want to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Now this is the inspired writing of Paul the Apostle, coming from God himself. And when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning there in verse number 21, we're going to see what God has to say about the treatment of women by men. This is the Christian way of doing things. These are the teachings of the Holy Spirit through Paul. And if you will, let me read this very quickly. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to turn there to verse 21 in your Bibles, and we're going to look at the difference between the treating of women by a Christian and the treating of women by an Islamist. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that's the wives' part. Here's the husband's part. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord does the church, his bride. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So here we have the Christian way of treating his wife, the Christian man in treating his wife, and the Christian wife in treating her husband. And it's just like Jesus Christ and as the bridegroom of the church, and the church being his bride.
You know, when we look at the difference between what the Bible says about a man and a woman's relationship is, compared to what Islam teaches about a man and a woman's relationship, they are just so far apart, it's unimaginable. You know, we look at here, David, the relationship to women, for example. The Islamic religion is extremely abusive to women, you know, and you don't even have to, you just have to look at the news to see what kind of things are taking place that Islamic men do to Islamic women. Mm-hmm. Well, they say, well, that's only the radicals who are doing that. Well, what we're going to find out is this is what is taught in the Quran. This is what is taught in Sharia law. It's not just something the radicals are doing. It's something that those who believe they're being faithful to the Quran are doing. And David, is that not what we're talking about?
Yes.
This
is not fear mongering. This is not hate mongering. This is comparing what one word of God has to say against the word of man called Muhammad.
You know, women are virtually giving no rights, and they are used as sexual objects and slaves. Muhammad's revelations allow Muslim men to have up to 4 wives at once, also having as many slave girls as they can afford. And so right there, David, does that not contradict what the Bible says?
No doubt.
Especially what we read a moment ago, one husband, one wife.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we have a situation where you can have as many as 4 wives, but Muhammad's personal sexual appetite led him to want 11 wives, and so he conveniently gave a revelation which allowed him to have that number, and that revelation was known as privilege above the rest of the faithful. In other words, Muhammad was...
And by the way, that's in the Quran.
Well, it is, and Muhammad was above his own law. Well, that gives a little insight, does it not, into what the Quran is all about?
Yes. Yes, it does. And that comes from Surah 38:48. And every time Muhammad desired to have another man's wife or another woman other than his own legal wives, he received another revelation allowing it. And that's also in the Quran, in Surah 33:37. And by the way, one of his own wives is only 8-year-old when he married her, and at 9 years old, he began to have conjugal relations with her. And this is also noted in Sharia law, as it has been passed as well. And the Sharia law, for those of you who don't know about the Sharia law, maybe you should go to Google and Google it up and look at what the Sharia law teaches. Because this ought to send cold chills up and down your spine, if not for you alone, for your wives and for your children.
Yeah, Sharia law says, David, a man can marry an infant girl and consummate the marriage when she is 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Sharia law.
Sharia law.
And, you know, and we might mention, David, that Sharia law is believed among the Muslims to be the very word of God. It's not mm-hmm. just some commentary, what some priest says, but they believe it to be the actual word of God, and so they need to adhere to it if they're going to be a faithful Muslim.
Right. Now you compare this to what we just read in Ephesians chapter 5. There is absolutely no comparison whatsoever. In Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is to love his wife so much that he would give his own life for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is no way in what we've read so far about Sharia law and Islamic law that comes from the Quran that can even remotely compare to that.
Exactly.
Remotely compare to that.
You know what the Bible, David, defines as adultery and fornication and debauchery, the Quran defines as acceptable and moral behavior. You know, that just shows you how diametrically opposed these two are, the Bible and the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Bible or the Quran is spoken of and the Muslim religion is spoken of by so many as a peaceful religion. What is peaceful about being mean and extremely abusive to women? Well, they say, well, all Muslims aren't that way. Well, I agree with that. But what does the Quran teach? Are you a faithful Muslim living according to the Quran? Or are you unfaithful and living to only portions of the Quran, the portions that you agree with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems to me there are a lot of Christians who act the same way.
Well, there are. No, there's no doubt about it. When we get accused of hate mongering and fear mongering, again, I want to reiterate this: we are reading passages from the Quran and Sharia law, which is one and the same, and we are just trying to give people a heads up as to what's coming if you just accept this with open arms. Now, there is no comparison to what we see here. Adultery is part of this four-wife thing. you can't have more than one wife without being considered to be in adultery. And yet this is approved of by Muhammad and the Islamists, the worshipers of Islam. And so it's adultery by Christian standards, and it's totally acceptable in Islam. And this is a religion, by the way, let me remind you, that was written by a man by the name of Muhammad.
You know, it says, David, I'm looking something, you know, Sharia law is the law of Islam. It is a law cast from the actions and words of Muhammad, which are called Sunnah, and the Quran, which it is authored. The Sharia law itself cannot be altered. And so this is something that if you're going to be a faithful Muslim, you cannot alter, you cannot change, you cannot omit anything from Sharia law and continue to be a faithful Muslim.
Very true.
Now, I know there are a lot of Muslims out there who are professing Muslims who I am sure would disagree with some of the things in Sharia law. Dismembering girls so that they cannot have sexual feelings. You know, that's in Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we could go on and on, David, but it just shows you that there are a lot of people out there who claim to be Muslim who either don't know or who are either willfully omitting portions of the Quran and Sharia law and thinking they're really a faithful Muslim when in reality they're not. And even our news media, what do they call it? Moderate Muslims and radical
mm-hmm.
Muslims. Let's talk a little bit about that, David. What's the difference between a moderate and a radical?
Faithful and unfaithful.
Exactly.
That's
right.
All in the world it is.
And what they've done is just change the terms to make it look like the bad is good and the good is bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, here we go. On the chat box, on the web, here is a very, very important point. We have a comment made. Abortion is a political issue. Now, just a moment ago, we were accused of having a political agenda. Then one of our chat box members said that a refugee issue is a political one. Well, here says abortion is a political issue, and the Bible condemns it just as it does false doctrine, the teaching of Islam. Therefore, as Christians, we cannot defend the false teaching and practices of Islam, just as we cannot condone abortion. A very good point. Very good indeed. Now, abortion wasn't a political issue until we made it one.
That's right. You know, that's what our government does. They make a lot of things a political issue when in reality they are a spiritual issue.
Mm-hmm.
Does God condemn abortion? Yes. Does God condemn many of the proponents of Islam? Yes, it does. And so it's not a political issue. It's a spiritual issue.
It is definitely a spiritual issue. We thank you for that comment. It's a great comment. When we look over here at the Bible's definition of adultery, the Bible's definition of fornication, these concubines and these sex slaves that men are able to have in their family if they can afford them, and the key here is if they can afford them, which kind of throws the light where it really needs to be. This Islam is all about the physical, and Christianity is all about the spiritual. And we see the spiritual nature of man and woman together as husband and wife over here in Ephesians chapter 5. We see the physical nature of a husband and wife over here in Islam with a man having as many as four wives, if that's what he chooses to marry, as many sex slaves as he can afford, if that's what he chooses to have. And involved in all of this is adultery and fornication. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, and we could go on with the list, but right there you have three of the three issues that we're talking about here that separate Christianity and Islam.
You know, we might define for our audience fornication, because, you know, there are some people that who don't understand what fornication means, and we'll give you the definition of that in just a moment, but before we do, the number to call if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. When we say fornication, you know, people who delve into the Bible a lot, they understand what fornication is, but some people may not. Some translations will have sexual immorality, which is a good translation, but this would include things like pedophilia. It would include having sex before marriage. It would include adultery, cheating on your spouse. It would include homosexuality. Many things like that, David, are fornication, sexual immorality. The Bible condemns that.
Yes.
But the Quran, in many cases, promotes many aspects of that. It's interesting, David, that the Quran promotes having sex outside marriage and raping, but condemns homosexuality. I've always thought that amazing, David, that our world now is so in tune to giving homosexuals special privileges, and yet there are people who are of the Islamic faith. The Quran teaches that they are to be killed. So, you know, they don't realize what they're allowing in on some cases.
Very true. Very true. So we're comparing the two. Divorce is another one of the things that the Quran will allow. God says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16 that God hates divorce. And so we see another violation from the religion of Islam as opposed to the religion of Jesus and Christianity here. Jesus does not promote divorce except for one reason and one reason only, and it is for another reason that the Islamists are promoting, putting evil for good and good for evil again.
Exactly. Matthew 19 verse 9, except for fornication.
Yes.
That is the only scriptural reason. Well, David, in the Surah 33:51, it says that he can have as many wives as he desires, but he must keep the number at four. He can divorce the older ones and replace them with newer models. Well, David, that's just treating women like a car. You know, you want to trade in the older car and get you a newer model for no other reason than the fact that you want a younger wife that might be more appealing to you.
Right.
That's what the Quran teaches.
Right. Now, again, we're wanting to compare these things. I want you to focus on this for just a moment in the Quran, Surah 4:38, quote, "Men stand superior to women in that God has preferred some of them over others, but those wives whose perverseness you fear, admonish them and remove them into the bedchambers and beat them." Okay, now that is from the Quran. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit through Paul has to say in verse 21 again. "Submitting yourselves, husband and wife, one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your husbands submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it." Now, how can you compare the two? I mean, there's really no great comparison here.
And then in verse 28 of that same chapter, "Even so, husbands also to love their own wives as their own bodies." Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, it's kind of like the golden rule, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Treat them as you would want to be treated, right? And so if you're going to treat your wife with that kind of disrespect where you can beat them if they burn the biscuits or whatever, What kind of that's not biblical. That's as far as opposed from the Bible as you can possibly get. And what we're doing, David, tonight, among many things, is showing how far away from spiritual the Quran is. Now, we've been accused of attacking all Muslims. In reality, what we're doing is attacking the Quran and those who are living faithfully according to the Quran. Again, we have to remind people, you are a faithful Muslim only if you're abiding by the Quran. If you're not abiding by the Quran, if you're picking and choosing passages, then you're not faithful. You're not a faithful
Muslim. And the same thing applies to Christianity. We're not just chunking rocks here at Islam in that regard, because you can't just go around picking and choosing what you're going to decide to be obedient to in the New Testament and throw the rest of it out and consider yourself faithful because God says you're not.
And I've had a lot of people, David, tell me that they are from a certain part of a denomination, and I say, well, what about this? Well, I don't believe that part of it. Well, then you're not a faithful member of that denomination because you're not adhering to every proponent of that teaching.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do, David, is to get back to simply what the Bible has to say and do exactly what the Bible says. Again, our motto is, you have heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. And tonight we're looking at the difference between what Jesus has taught and what Muhammad has taught, and there is a world of difference between the two.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Now, the Bible also teaches, you know, we read the part just a moment ago in the Quran where you can have up to four wives and as many sex slaves or concubines as you can afford. But the Bible teaches that there is only one husband, one wife for life, and they shall be one flesh. Now, that law by God was instituted in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
Way back, even before the law of Moses was instituted. But then when Jesus comes along, he reiterates that very same law and brings that principle and that law over into the New Testament in Matthew chapter 19 when he says, For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He is quoting what God had to say even before the law of Moses. And then the Holy Spirit picks it up again in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Again, the principle of righteousness is brought through the entire Bible, through the patriarchal age, through the Mosaic age, through the preparatory system that was put forth while John the Baptist was on this earth preparing the way for Jesus and the kingdom. And then after the kingdom is established, it is reiterated again, and it is part of the church and it is part of Christianity, and we can't change that.
Exactly. Now, the number to call if you'd like to get involved in the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-Bible. That's 1-855-QA-Bible. Live call-in program. Tonight we're talking about the difference between what Jesus taught and what Muhammad taught, and especially in relation to women. You know, David, it's beyond me how any woman could ever desire to be a Muslim, especially in light of the fact of how they're treated.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're thought of. You know, according to Sharia law, a woman does not even have the right to drive a car or to talk to a man one-on-one. It's a violation of law.
Well, you know, we would like to encourage all of our listeners to particularly read the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Read the law under which we live as Christians. But if you have a chance, go to Google and just Google Sharia law. and get that list that Google will provide for you, and you will find that this is coming right straight out of the Quran. Read it and be fearful of this Sharia law that is being tried, that they are trying to impose here in the United States of America. As I understand it, a great portion of this Sharia law has already been imposed in parts of France. Is this not true, Frank?
Yes, it is. And furthermore, it has been demanded, not gained yet, in certain areas of our own country where there is a concentrated group of Muslims living in a specific area. They are asking to have this law become the law of that particular area and set aside the law of America.
And so this is one of the reasons that we're bringing this up. We're trying to get everybody's attention to, first of all, what the Bible has to say. And then secondly, let's compare this. And the only way that you can make a decent comparison is to take one and compare it to the other. And this is one of the reasons that we are doing this. And by the way, we've just got a few minutes left on our program today. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And give us a call. Let us know give us a comment. Give us a question. We'll try to give you a Bible answer. And if we can't give you a Bible answer tonight, we'll be sure to bring one up next week if we can't find it just immediately.
You know, you can also contact us through email, questions@HarrisonMoore.org, just like Joseph did last week. You can also look at our webpage, HarrisonMoore.org, as well, and contact us through that venue. But David, tonight we're talking about the difference between what Jesus taught in the Bible and what Muhammad teaches in the Quran. And they are diametrically opposed to one another, especially in relationship to how women are to be treated. Women are not to be mistreated according to the Bible. We are to treat our wives like our own bodies. Mm-hmm. We're to love our wives like our own body, as we've seen there in Ephesians 5 in verse 28. We're not to be degrading to them. But that's not true of Islam, is it?
No, it's not. It is not. And also, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We are to give honor to the wife, and this is totally opposed to Islam and the teaching of Islam. And it is not something that we can allow to let go. Now we have a comment on the screen here that likes to take things out of context, and we will give you the context of this in just a moment. Let your women keep silence in the churches; it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under the obedience, as saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. And this has to do with the service of our worship in services here, and yes, there is a place in worship service for men, and there is a place in worship service for women.
You know, we're talking about a role. Mm-hmm. You know, just because a person has a different role and is under another does not mean they're inferior or insignificant or to be treated badly. As a matter of fact, you look at the role between the Father, God, and Jesus, right? There is a role. Jesus is in submission to the Father. Does that make Jesus insignificant? Does that make him unimportant? Does that mean he can be abused? No. And just because a woman has a different role in the Lord's church does not make them insignificant, especially in light of the fact of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5.
And 1 Peter chapter 3.
Exactly.
That we are to honor them. So, you know, when we're talking about a role, we're talking about a different thing here. And there is a reason for God putting that role in effect. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis as to the reason why that role is the way it is. But considering here, and even if you wanted to compare that to Islam, you still wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
No.
Because there's no real mistreatment here, even in that of the role. There is no mistreatment of the woman,
mm-hmm.
And yet we have a total mistreatment of the women over here in under the Islamic law.
You know, the passage that he's given here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's not applicable to what we're talking about. There's a particular problem addressed concerning miraculous gifts in the church that Paul was dealing with. And he says, let the women keep silence in the church. The word there means they can't make a sound. There are other passages that tells us that they have to sing and other things of this nature. And the problem here dealt with particular individuals that are the wives of some of these men. And if they've got a question, let them ask their husband. It was not a generic statement because there are women that don't have husbands. But we need to keep that in its context because it really doesn't have anything to do with the situation we're talking about.
True. Very, very true. Very true. We got 10 minutes left here, and we brought up something as we were kicking our program around that I think needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
In Christianity, we have a plan of salvation that Jesus gives us. The plan of salvation is to hear the Word of God, and that hearing of the Word of God is going to produce faith. Oh, you've got to have faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Okay, that's the beginning of our Christianity, is our faith. Then we must have repentance, because Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's a turning around, doing the righteous things of God versus the unrighteous things of the land.
You know, without faith, you're not going to be willing to repent. Faith mm-hmm. leads to repentance.
Sure.
Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Romans chapter 10, verse 17.
And so if you have faith in what the Bible has to say, you have faith in Jesus, you're not going to want to live the former life that you once lived. You're going to want to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also going to be willing to confess the Christ. That's more than just saying his name, isn't it?
Yes. Well, and confessing before men, which will eliminate... every Muslim here, because the Islamic religion says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, but a Christian that is going to be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation is going to have to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And anyone who does not confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as we mentioned last week and the week before, is Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And we read that in 1 John chapter 4. So the confession is very important, but also the baptism into Christ for the remission of sins is something that we must do. This is God's plan of salvation, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So we have a plan of salvation. This puts us into the church. It puts us into the body of Christ. Now, let's compare that with the Islamic religion and their plan of salvation. Frank, you did a little study on this for us so that we would know something tonight. Let us know what the Islamic plan of salvation is.
The question is specifically asked to the Muslim, who is your Savior? And this is their answer. Your belief in the one true living God Almighty and your good deeds are your Savior in Islam. In Islam, you don't need for anyone to die for your sins to allow Allah Almighty to forgive you. We don't believe in mediators between Creator and the creation. In Islam, you have a direct relationship with Allah Almighty. I don't need for anyone to die for my sins.
Okay. And so the basic plan of salvation is what?
Say he is God, the one and only, God the eternal, absolute. He begetteth not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him.
Okay, so if a person were to confess Allah as the one and only God, he would deny the one and only true God, which is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that right?
He has to. He has to. He cannot acknowledge both.
No.
So when we look at this idea then of the Islamic plan of salvation, it's just a matter of believing that Allah is the one and only true God, right?
That's right.
No need of a savior, no need of any kind of mediator between God and man. All you got to do is just acknowledge Allah as God. Well, again, that's pretty diametrically opposed from what the Bible says, is it not? Even Christianity in general, and I put a quotation marks around Christianity, even in the denominational world, that would be diametrically opposed from any Protestant religion in the world, would it not?
Yes.
Even the Catholic religion.
A denying of God, the one and only true God, the creator of the universe, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here. To deny God and to deny Christ makes one antichrist. And antichrist cannot, absolutely cannot, inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And so we think about this idea, antichrist against Christ, opposed to Christ, not believing in Christ. We look at the idea, David, of this comparison between Christianity and Islam. And really, David, we have only begun to touch the hem of the garment in between the differences in these two. And we focus tonight on Islam and its treatment of women. It's always been called by many in the media today, and sadly by many of our past presidents and present president, that it is a religion of peace. Now, there might be what the news media say, the moderates who are peaceful, but they're not living according to the Quran. And that's what we've been trying to show. The Quran is a book of war. It is a book of mutilation. It is a book of misabusing women. And if you're going to be a faithful Muslim, then you're going to be living according to those precepts. If you don't live according to those precepts, then you're not living a faithful Muslim life, even though you may claim to be Muslim.
And so again, we start out right where we end up right where we began. Woe unto him that puts good for evil and evil for good. Now, Tom, we're just about out of time, and we need to mention our sponsors tonight, and I'm going to turn that back over to you to mention our sponsors and to let everybody know how much we appreciate you listening in and your chat box comments, and we hope that you will tune in again next week as we start signing off here at the Harris Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
This program has been brought to you by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. It has indeed been a delight to have you in our audience this evening, and we hope that the things that we have said tonight will encourage you to go to the Bible, to look at what the Bible has to say, because you have heard what men have said. Now it's time for us to listen to what the Bible has to say. David, give us about 30 seconds of final words.
Well, 30 seconds, I don't know if I can do it or not in 30 seconds, but I do want to let everyone know, and I hope there wasn't some kind of a misinterpretation as we got our email from Joseph. that we considered every single Muslim a bad person. There are some good people in the Muslim religion. Howbeit, they are antichrist. It doesn't make any difference how you want to draw that any old way. If you confess that you are a Muslim, you have denied Jesus the Christ. And so with that, I want to leave you. Thank you for tuning in. The Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Thank you very much for listening tonight.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station.